how in spite of our sinfulness, He gave it all because He loved us. That song we just sang there, the last verse we sang is, "Oh, how the world to evil allures me." We're all sinners in need of a Savior. It goes on to say, "Oh, how my heart is tempted to sin. I, Greg Gnarl, a sinner saved by grace. And I'm in need of a Savior. I'm in need of a Savior. And His name is Jesus." But men, we see hope. I must tell Jesus, and He will help me over the world, the victory to win. Amen. He has given us victory, but He's given us a choice to choose Him. The Lord's Supper is an ordinance that we observe as a church in obedience to remember it, as we've already spoke of. And we remember what Christ accomplished upon the cross. And we remember the gospel message, the truth about His death, burial, and resurrection in my place and in your place. A place that we deserve to go in separation. We deserved hell, but He loved us enough to take it all upon Himself. To forgive us the punishment because of the sins that we commit. Jesus commanded, as I shared with you in Luke 22, to remember Him. Too often, self-included, we're very guilty of when we observe the Lord's Supper, we tack it on to the end and we make it become a ritual. We know every fifth Sunday we're going to observe the Lord's Supper. I'm not saying you don't, but I'm talking to Greg Gnarl right here. Do I really stop and examine my life? Do I really stop and remember what He accomplished upon the cross? Do I really put the effort into observing the Lord's Supper? You know, all these things around us are material. It doesn't matter if it's a car, a house, a chair, a boat, whatever. All these things are material and they mean nothing. We don't come to church to hear traditional or contemporary, though I may enjoy the traditional better. We don't come to church to spend time in just the song, except for we're here to worship Him, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that accomplished upon the cross something that we couldn't do, cannot do for ourselves. And we need to come before the Lord's Supper by examining our heart. I, Greg Gnarl, where is my walk with Christ? Am I where God wants me to be? I'm a sinner daily, saved by grace, as I shared with you already. But in my walk in life, am I exactly where God wants me to be? Am I being and doing what He's called me to be and to do? Am I living my life for Him on a daily basis? I need to examine my heart and life, and we're going to see here in 1 Corinthians, Paul shares that we need to be on guard. So how should we observe the Lord's Supper? First of all, in humility, in reverence, in obedience by the command that Jesus gave us there in Luke 22, and with a heart surrendered and right before God. How do we accomplish this? We repent of our sins and ask God to forgive us. That's exactly how we do it. Just like we sang the song just a moment ago, I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. This is what Paul is asking the church to do in Corinth. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 27 through 32, they read like this. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup in an unworthy way will be guilty of sin against the body and the blood of the Lord. So a man should examine himself in this way. He should eat the bread and drink from the cup. For whoever eats and drinks without recognizing the body eats and drinks judgment upon himself. This is why many are sick and ill among you, and why many have fallen asleep. Or that means many have passed. If we were properly evaluating ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord, so that we may not be condemned with the world. This is believers Paul is talking to, the church at Corinth. He's saying, listen, examine your life. Examine your choices. Examine what your priorities are. Who you place or what you place first in your life. Do you place Jesus Christ first in your heart and your life? Is He your priority? Was He supposed to be? And by the way, you were His. You were His priority. And He gave His life upon the cross for us. The Corinthian church was a troubled church with many different problems. A lot going on. The old saying goes, churches have problems because churches have people. But the truth about it is, I'm a sinner saved by grace. You're a sinner saved by grace. If you surrender to Jesus, we're all sinners saved by grace. It's not about anything that I have done or you have done. It's about what Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross for you. And if that is not our focus in our life when we come to church to worship, then we're not coming to church for the right reasons. Amen. Our focus should never be about this is going on or that's going on. We have squabbles against one another about this or that. We come to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, though we do not deserve to. He made the path to come before His throne of grace with boldness, as Hebrews chapter 4 shares. And we don't need to take that for granted. We need to examine our hearts and our lives and place Him as the priority in our lives. Not these other things that grab our attention that we are near and dear to us, that we love and consider so much. Too often, people do this. The people in this church at Corinth had no problem putting up with sin, is the reason Paul was addressing them. They had no problem treating some others in the church better than their neighbor. They had cliques within the church. They felt one was a better person than the other, instead of we're all equal in the eyes of God. And Paul was instructing them, this is not how you're supposed to conduct your life when you come before remembering Him. This is not what Jesus said. Get your heart right and ready before God. They had no problem also withholding food or withholding things of other people who were in need. They'd rather promote their own self, their own mannerisms, their own way, what they want instead of what God wants. And when we do things like this, our heart is not right with God. And we need to ensure that when we come before remembering the Lord's Supper, that our heart's right with God. And here's one truth I think we often overmiss. He shares with how they partake in it. He shares with how many became sick, many fall asleep or have passed away because of their disobedience. But here's what it is, the truth of the matter. There's not a person in this room, if you've surrendered to Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, and you ask God, you repent of your sins, turn from your sins, and ask God to forgive you. 1 John 1:9 says, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and restore our walk with Him. Amen. So there's no reason this morning that we as individuals, we as a church, can't come before His throne of grace and say, Father, I know I've taken wrong steps. Father, I know I've made decisions maybe I shouldn't have made. Father, I know I've not done on occasions the things that You want for me to do. We need to just repent, ask forgiveness, and He will restore that relationship. That's the wonderful thing about God's amazing grace. He restores our relationship. But He wants for you, He wants for me, He wants for us to seek Him out. Why? Because He first sought us out. He wants us to love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. Have an attitude and reverence of Him. So as we participate, and before we participate, we're going to take a moment, and Greg Nall is going to ask God to forgive him for the sins he's committed. And Greg Nall is going to ask God to forgive me for the sins when I omitted doing something that God wanted me to do. And we're going to partake in the Lord's Supper, and we're going to remember Him. We're going to remember Him. I'm going to ask the deacons, if they will, to come forward at this time. sit on the sides, and Randy's going to lead us in song. Jesus took many stripes, much punishment, because he loved us. Isaiah shares that his body was so disfigured, he was barely recognizable. We need to remember how he took upon the cross, and he took for us things that we deserve. I'm going to ask Brother Joe if he would to lead us in prayer, remembering the body that was broken.
Years ago when Bible shares, it says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. On the night when he was betrayed, Lord Jesus said, 'This is my body, which was given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" I want to ask at this time if Brother Lynn would pray for the blood that was spilt upon the cross for us.
Glorify your kingdom, Lord, through this.
Paul then wrote, and Jesus then said, in the same way, after supper, he also took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant established by my blood. Do this in remembrance of me." Max, would you dismiss us from this portion of the service? Have our hearts right before God. We've come into His presence and worshiped Him. We've remembered what Jesus accomplished for us and observed the Lord's Supper. As we just sang, we've come into His house and gathered in His name to worship Christ the Lord. What's next? What do we do now? Which direction do I go in now? What should I do? Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7 read like this. Paul writing to the church at Philippi, "I give thanks to my God for every remembrance of you, always praying with joy for all of you in my every prayer, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to think this way about you, all of you, because I have you in my heart, and you are all my partners with me in grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and establishment of the gospel." Key word that we see there in those verses of scriptures is partners. We are first and foremost partners with Christ. But then we are in turn partners together as we serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ together. We've got our hearts right. We've come into His presence and worshiped Him. We've observed the Lord's Supper in remembrance of what Jesus accomplished. Now it's time to be partners in the gospel. To be partners in sharing with the world that there's hope. Just like the community we see here in these verses of scriptures, Paul is revealing that we are to be partners in Christ and we are to share the good news of the gospel with other people. We of all people have a lot to share and to tell. If we are ashamed of him, he too will be ashamed of us before the Father in heaven.
We see in Scriptures that He reminds us all throughout God's Word to have the Romans 1:16 motto, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." So what's next? We share. We tell others, this is Jesus that died on the cross for the forgiveness of sins. But you have to turn to Him. You have to repent and turn to Him. We as Christians have this responsibility. Acts 1:8, you've heard me say it a million times. When the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. So what's next? Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Be a partner with Christ. Be partners with one another. We worship Him. We remember. We share. We become partners in proclaiming Jesus and worshiping Him in front of others. People must see you in action for this Savior that we proclaim. Because if we proclaim Him and there is no action, James 2:26 shares, faith without works is dead. We need to be partners in the gospel. So what's next? Allow others to see you obey and worship Jesus by sharing Him. Randy? During this time of invitation, you may be here and you've trusted Jesus Christ a long time ago as your Savior. And you heard Greg preach and say how he was a sinner in need of a Savior. And you can relate. Because you, like Greg, have made a lot of choices that you shouldn't have made. And you, like Greg, have not done some things maybe that God wanted you to do. But also, just like Greg and any other person, you can repent of your sins and turn from yourself and turn to Him. He's calling for you to just come home. He's never left you, forsake you. If it does not feel like He's there, it's not because He's gone anywhere. It's because we have. You may be here this morning and you've never surrendered to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And you want to know, how can I do this? Well, the Bible shares with us in Romans 10:9-10, that if we confess that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God has raised Him from the dead, we shall be saved. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. This altar's open. And I urge you, don't wait. Because when you pass from this walk of life, when Christ returns, it's too late. It's too late. So won't you come? Let's worship Him as we sing hymn number
571. Let's stand 571.